On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. The lady said that. Believe the lady. That's the name of the show. We're here every weekday. I know. Something wrong with me. I've been doing this for nearly 30 years. That's longer than when you were born and when you last brushed your teeth. That's incredible. I deserve some type of a party. So, I'm just putting it out there, I'm just saying. Or some type of psychiatric evaluation, just putting that out there, just saying. Actually, there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. It's you that has that psychological problem. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look in the mirror. And then look really deep into your soul. Not good, huh? Not good. All the psychological experts say that when you leave this life, you are supposed to have contributed something. I contributed $10 once to a homeless guy. Does that count? That comment was not right. I'll tell you a true story, which happens to be true. See, just because someone says, I'll tell you a true story, you immediately believe that it's true. You're so gullible. I mean, seriously, it does, just because someone says that. Look what Trump says. He says stuff and he tells you it's true. And you know it's not. You know he's lying. It's proven every time. So stop trusting people, except me. I'm going to tell you a true story. If I'm going to embellish a story, I will always tell you that, because that's the kind of person I am. But, yeah, this actually happened.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
I could have started the story by now. I just love this music. By the way, most of the music used on this show, including this, is in the opening theme by Jason Shaw. I just think I should tell you that. Jason also told me that he thinks I should tell you that. By the way, the opening announcement and much of the comedy bits are performed and written by John Shanahan. I thought I'd just tell you that. And John didn't tell me to say that either. All right, I wasted enough time with that. Okay, here's the deal. There's a large shopping mall near my studio, and I go there every once in a while. Get this, you ready? to shop. I know, really. And when I do, there's a long line of cars at the traffic light before you turn into the mall. You know what that's about. No one just drives somewhere anymore. Those days are over. Do you remember the days, kids, you millennials? Do you remember the days when you used to get in your car and just drive somewhere and park and go inside? Oh, no more. Everything's a line. Everything's traffic. You never just go somewhere. You have to go on your little smarty pants phone, your smart ass phone, I'd call it. And you have to, how long is it going to, is there traffic to get there? How long is it going to take me to get there? I have to plan accordingly. And I have to plan if there's a little more traffic than what the GPS says. I didn't have to used to do that. I just got in the car, turned it on, which was very important. And then drove there and parked. I mean, I knew exactly how long it would take, and that's exactly how long it took every single time, unless there was construction. And when I was growing up, there was no construction. No one gave a shit. No one cares now either, yet there's construction. I don't remember what I was originally talking about. Was it about bran flakes? No, that's not it. Was it about foot fetishes? No, that's not it. Oh, yeah. So I'm on my way to the mall, and there's a line of traffic at this traffic light to turn into the mall. And I look up toward the front of the line, and there's this guy, not well-dressed. He had all his limbs. I just threw that in there. And he had a little cardboard sign. Nobody could read it, because when you write pencil on a cardboard sign or crayon, no one sees that. You can't see that. You need a professional sign maker. But I guess if you're broke and you're collecting money, that's not the kind of, you don't have a professional sign made up. That would kind of be a giveaway that you really don't need the money. So there I am sitting on the line, and I see this not well-dressed person collecting money from cars, claiming that, I don't think he said he was homeless. I think he said he was penniless or pantsless, although he had pants on. I really don't know what the problem was. But he did look like he was needy. And some of the drivers in the cars would give him money. Most did not, because they found him to be an annoyance. In other words, the attitude is, well, why don't you clean yourself up and get a job? And there are plenty of jobs now, but the down-and-out person has their reasons. Perhaps their psychological reasons. Perhaps they have a bad past, a police record that does not allow them to work anywhere. I don't know the problem. Maybe they figure walking up and down the street is a nice job. You're your own boss. You make your own hours. I don't think that's it. I'm being cynical. So guy's walking up, and I see this guy every time I drive to the mall. And I go to the mall maybe once every other day just to make believe I'm an American. When you're an American, you just have to go to a mall here and there. Otherwise, you look stupid. So I see this guy there all the time, and sometimes his clothes are different, so he's got more than one outfit. There's a bar that I stop into every once in a while that's located inside the mall, and I walk in, and I happen to know the owner, because I happen to know owners. When you know owners of things, life is better. So I go in there. The owner comes up to me and says, "Hey, Ron, how you doing?" I says, "Fine. Hey, that guy that who's collecting money from the mall there, man, he's on my ass, man. He just, I don't know about him." And the owner looks at me and says, "Ron, that guy who collects money on that little grass strip before you go into the mall, sometimes he comes here like in the evening at 6 o'clock when his shift is over, so to speak. He'll come in here, he'll sit at the bar, and he'll order a ribeye steak, enjoy it, tip nicely, and leave. And we watch him get into a decent-looking nice car and drive away." And I said, "Oh, my God, are you sure that's him?" I said, "Yeah, we're sure that's him. We see him every day. We know it's him. He's standing there every day at the entrance to the mall. He doesn't come in here every day, but a lot. Yeah, we know what he does with his money. We think he's all right." "Oh my God. He's taking people for everything they have. And the owner says to me, look, you know, first of all, they're not taking, he's not taking everything they have. He didn't take their wallet. And secondly, good for him. I said, what did you say? This is good for him. Isn't that what we all do? Don't we all scam somebody else? And in a sense, when we're talking about collecting money, don't we all overinflate our product? Don't we all play with the prices so that we can make more money than we really need to or should? Don't we jack up the price for certain people? Don't we take an item that costs like a dollar to make and sell it for $100? Don't we all kind of take advantage of the public with our little marketing schemes? I said, yes, but that's very different than a guy standing on a median strip collecting money, claiming that he has no money and then spends it on steak. He says, look, Ron, I don't know if this guy, I don't know. The guy makes his money, he spends it, he goes home. I can't judge. I said, oh my God, but you know what? I can. I do a radio show and I can judge. Well, I used to be seethingly angry whenever I would drive by this guy. All of a sudden, I didn't see him there anymore. He was just gone. Now, maybe he moved to a nicer climate to collect money. I really don't know. I have no idea why he stopped. Maybe he hooked up with somebody else and, you know, that person has money. I really don't know what happened to him. But I'm glad he's out of my face, and I hope he's doing well in a sense. In another sense, I hope he's not doing well because he scammed me out of, I think, a total of $5. And that was the $5 I was going to give to society so that when I left this earth, I would have contributed something to make life better for somebody. And yet, look who I helped.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
All right, well, I don't want to talk down to a third grader, but it wasn't supposed to be a funny story. It was supposed to be a story that makes you think, commenting on how we do business all over the globe by deceit, smoke and mirrors, and a little bit of walking up and down a median strip. That's what I was going for, young lady, third grader. But she's only in the third grade. You know what else? Oh, what, you know what, Floor? See, I'm not a millennial. Did you know that? I'm older than a millennial. I'm a bicentennial, I think. I don't know what you call me. A baby boomer, a booming baby, a generation W, a generation P. Well, now I'm a generation P because I pee all the time. I guess that's what, what they should call people my age. Generation P a lot. I don't know. Got in my car, drove right to the place. I didn't have to wait in traffic no more. That's all done. You familiar with Cheryl Ladd? Did you ever date her? She's been in so many movies. She also was one of Charlie's Angels for a good period of time. She was the third one. I don't know how you do that, you know. One, two, and three. She was the third. She was the blonde. There was always a blonde. Yeah, there is a dark-haired, a brunette, and a blonde. It was basically, the show is just a display of different colored hair and hairstyles is really all that was. But fun. An all-female detective agency was Charlie's Angels. Very similar to women in bikinis opening up a car wash. Same thing. Anyway, Cheryl Ladd is on the show today. She'll be joining us shortly, or she'll be standing up and joining us not shortly. And we're going to be talking about eyes, cataracts. Eyes make me squirm. I've never had contact lenses. I kind of didn't need them for most of my life. Don't need them now. I wear glasses for reading. I mean, I can read without glasses, unlike Trump, who can't read no matter what. I can read, but sometimes I enhance my eyesight by wearing glasses. And you know what's funny, kids? This has nothing to do with cataracts, by the way. Everything I say has nothing to do with what I started to talk about. That's the rule here. Let's get with the program. You know what's interesting about glasses? When I was growing up back in the 1800s, that's a joke on me. When people wore glasses in school, bullies and nasty people used to call them four eyes, which I didn't understand because they still have two eyes just with glasses on them, but four eyes apparently took off. It sounds like it's one of Trump's insults that just caught on, like lock her up or send her back, that kind of stuff. This four eyes thing caught on, and it was incredibly hurtful to people that couldn't see very well by no choice of their own. I mean, kids weren't walking around poking their eyes with pencils so that they could wear glasses. They had to wear them. Contact lenses were very rare in those days. People wore glasses. And those that did, it was sad, man. It was sad what they had to put up with. Kids are nasty. Adults are nasty. Kids are even nastier. Because they don't know what the hell they're doing. Doesn't make it right. Kids are nasty. Most kids, not your kids, right, I know, not your kids. Most kids are nasty, I should say. I should qualify. Most kids are nasty. I should qualify by saying all kids are nasty except for your kids. Otherwise, they're all nasty. Calling other kids four eyes, and it made them feel horrible. Nobody wanted to wear glasses, even though they had to for vision purposes. Then the contact lenses became very, very popular, and I could never understand how someone could take a tiny piece of plastic that if you drop on the floor, you can never find them, unless you angle a flashlight on the carpet. Other than that, I mean, and then put that on your eye, on your actual eye. I mean, I go crazy when an eyelash gets in my eye, much less a big curved piece of plastic. I get squirmy when it comes to eyes. I hate going to the eye doctor. I know it's called optometrist. I'm not stupid. But I hate going to the eye doctor because they're fooling with my eyes, man. Leave my eyes alone. Oh, my God. It just makes me squirm. It makes me feel queasy. Now, as we sit here today, and we do sit here today, glasses are cool. What? Nobody calls people with glasses four eyes anymore. They say, oh, you look cool. Can I try them on? Can I try them on? Now, when I was growing up, when a kid said, can I try on your glasses, it was to make fun of you. Because the first thing they would say when they put your glasses on was, oh, my God, you're blind. Oh, my God, you can't see. Which made you always feel better about yourself. That's like somebody walking up to a paraplegic and saying, oh, my God, you can't walk. Yeah, I know that, Einstein. Thank you for making me. Thank you. But now when people say, oh, my God, can I try your glasses on? These are cool. Oh, these look cool. These are nice. Some people actually wear glasses that are not prescription. They just have clear glass in them because it makes them look cool. Women like men look with glasses because it makes them look smart. And all women know that men are not smart people. But if you put glasses on, it gives that illusion. Women with glasses, sexy, man, that's sexy. An intelligent woman who looks hot? Pfft, seriously? Wonderful. Glasses are in. Whoever thought that would happen? And not just not glasses that are, you know, they have the wire rim glasses and, you know, the clear frames, which is, you know, that's nice. But the glasses that are really in are the ones where they're obvious frames. They're like black horn-rimmed glasses, so to speak, which is what they used to call them. Those are the cool-looking ones. People have been wearing sunglasses forever, and those people are like ultimate cool. Just because you have a tinted lens, and we call them sunglasses, they're cool. People without tinted lenses, apparently at one point, were not cool, but now they are. So wear your glasses proud. Anyway, Cheryl Ladd is on the show. Man, that was like a 15-minute introduction. You're just wasting my time now. That's all you're doing. I'm surprised at myself. Has it ever happened to you where all of a sudden you're surprised at yourself? Like you're walking down the street and you go, hey, I'm a nice person. I just realized I'm a nice person. The only exception to the rule is Donald Trump. I hate to keep bringing his name up, but he's a poster child for so many different things, and none of them are good. I wonder if Donald Trump goes walking through the White House and says, hey, I'm the President of the United States, and I'm an asshole. I wonder if he knows he's an asshole. I think he does. I think he's the proudest person on the planet because he's a successful asshole. If you gave him an award for Asshole of the Year, he would say thank you and may even shed a tear in gratitude. That's how much of an asshole he is. Cheryl Ladd joins us. We're going to be talking about eyes and cataracts and all that kind of stuff. So will you join me for that? I think that'll be kind of interesting. It's something I want to listen to. I'll tell you about that. Do you like to drink?
Hey, are you looking for wine? You got a party coming up or something? Special occasion stuff and you need wine? Well, you need to come on over to Jimmy's Wino-rama and get some. I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? I've got all the best wine and I have personally tried each and every one of them a number of times because I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? Jimmy's Wino-rama, that's me, and it's the place to get wine. I'm an expert. We have specials this week. Cabernet Sauvignon, it's red wine, and it's like $10. Or maybe you want to be drinking Pinot Perino, it's white. Chicks like it, and it's $7. So you come here. It's Jimmy's Wino-rama. It's wine, bunch of it. I'm Jimmy, and I may have a problem, but you won't have any problem saving money on wine at Jimmy's Wino-rama. I'm Jimmy. Hey. How are you? I think I already said that. Did I say that already? I said that already.
Hi, Ron.
Good morning. Good morning to the both of you. Dr. Edward Holland is joining us, the Director of Cornea Services at Cincinnati Eye Institute and Professor of Ophthalmology at the University of Cincinnati. He's done far more with his life than I have. And Cheryl Ladd, you know, it's Cheryl Ladd. So there you go. Well, welcome to the both of you. We're talking about cataracts. And, doctor, let me start with you. Tell us what cataracts are for those that may not understand completely what that is.
Cataracts are a cloudiness of the lens. So the lens is the focusing structure of the eye. It is located behind the iris, the color part of the eye. So when you look at somebody and you see their eye color blue or green or brown, that's the iris. Immediately behind that is the lens. And as we get older, that lens becomes more and more cloudy, and you start losing the focusing and clarity of your vision.
All right. Now, this is something that happens through age, usually?
The vast majority of cataracts are related to age. We can see cataracts from trauma and from certain medical conditions, but far and away, aging is the most common cause of cataracts. And so we see that as the population is living longer, we're seeing more and more cataracts. It's estimated that there are 24 million Americans with cataracts in this year, and that this number is going to go to 30 million by 2020.
Wow.
It's also estimated that by the time you're 80 years old, half of the U.S. population has cataracts or have had their cataracts removed. So extremely common.
Okay, yes.
We want so much for people
to get on a website called Cataract, Your Cataract IQ. So important, because what I'm here to talk about today is the fact that I knew nothing about cataracts. And my husband had to go and have his eyes checked. He was really having vision issues, and we didn't know what was going on. Went to a doctor, sat in a room. Yes, they have to be removed. And all of this information just came pouring out of him, and it was overwhelming because neither of us had a clue what it was. Could it be prevented? We didn't know anything. And consequently, it made it a kind of an anxious experience. And it doesn't have to be, because now I have all this fabulous information about what it is. I will be a candidate for it myself. So I'm completely relaxed about it. I know all of the amazing procedures they have now to help people not only get your the cataracts gone, but also they have lenses that can improve what is perhaps a problem within your eyes. So you literally can have eyesight back the way you had it as a child. As a kid, as a young person. You can have young eyes.
It's like getting brand new eyes. It's like, robots. But that's the great news, because I know that it wasn't long ago that cataract surgery was something that was, you had to consider it. There was some danger to it. Now, I mean, the medical technology is incredible.
Ron, you're absolutely right. So if we think back to the way cataract surgery was performed a couple decades ago, we used to admit patients into the hospital for several days. They had multiple sutures to close this very large incision. We didn't have implants like we have today. Their activity was restricted for about a month. Now, you fast forward to medical breakthrough now. Our incision is less than, is 2 millimeters or less. There are no sutures. We have over a 98% success rate. And the vast majority of patients can go back to full activity within 24 hours. They can jog, they can pick up their grandkids, they can go hit a golf ball the day after cataract surgery.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Doctor, does it also correct your eyesight to some extreme?
Well, Cheryl was talking about their other conditions, and the most common other condition we manage at the time of cataract surgery is astigmatism. Astigmatism means that the cornea, which is the clear window in front of the eye, is not symmetric. And about half of cataract patients have astigmatism. If we pick an intraocular lens that manages the astigmatism at the same time, the patient will then not need glasses for distance. So it is a way to even get them better vision than they had before they developed cataracts.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. My wife says, I hope someday that I have to have cataract surgery. And I said, my God, that's horrible. Why would you hope for surgery? Because I'd be able to see better. And I said, well, my God, this is like turned around completely now.
It is, actually. Yeah. It's pretty exciting. It's such an exciting breakthrough with our abilities now to have our eyes back. And, you know, as you think about getting older, one of the biggest difficulties for people as they age is falling. Well, a lot of these falls are caused by people who have cataracts, who are not seeing as well as they used to see. And just as a sheer safety measure for being able to get around and see where you're walking and see what the conditions are. And it's just exciting. I feel very excited about it, that I am living in a time in which when I have to have it done, my sight will be improved.
Yeah. Now, Cheryl, tell me about this cataract eye quiz.
Well, you know how, well, I don't know about you, but women love to do all these little quizzes on the Internet. So they were brilliant enough to say, let's make a quiz where people can get on and answer questions and find out what they actually know about cataracts. And since I was one of those people that I knew had heard the word before, but that was about the extent of my knowledge. So it's a fun thing to do. It'll open the door to some understanding of it, because even if you don't have cataracts right now, there's a very good chance that we will, if we all live long enough, we will have it. And so you might as well know your options and know how it goes. And it's not nearly as terrifying as it was 30 years ago. It was really a big deal. And now, it's not that it's not a big deal, but the big deal about it is that you get your eyesight back. That's what the big deal is.
Cheryl, was your husband going to the doctor, the optometrist, because he had vision concerns, or because he was going annually anyway?
Well, he since he married me, I have to tell you, I find that men, and I don't know if I talk to other women,
true.
And they
say
they can't get their husbands to the doctor. So I've been kind of nudging and nudging
nudging.
So, yeah, and you know, then it got to the place where he really knew he had to go see the doctor, that something was going on with his vision. And it became unavoidable, but it doesn't have to be. Just go have your eyes checked.
Yeah.
See where you are. You know, on the scale of, you may not have any sign of it yet. You might have years to go, and but everyone should get that base view of what your eyes are doing and where you are, and it's good for you.
You know, Ron, there's this misconception that as you age, you should accept loss of vision.
Right.
And some patients just feel like, I'm getting older, I shouldn't see like I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. You know, we have an operation that has an over 98% success rate, and you don't have to accept the fact that you're losing vision. You don't have to give up night driving. You don't have to give up reading. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give up all your hobbies. Get your cataracts evaluated, and if they're surgically indicated, have surgery.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the message from the both of you that I'm getting, and I do tons of interviews with doctors all the time, and the bottom line is, my God, get annual checkups. Go to the optometrist, the quote-unquote eye doctor, on an annual basis, certainly when you reach a certain age, but even as young adults, do the same thing. Go to a dermatologist when you reach a certain age. Make sure you get colon screened at a certain age. I mean, why not do that stuff? And some people just don't do it, and it's unfortunate.
Well, Ron, you're exactly right. You know, anybody over the age of 50 should have an eye exam every year. Not only do we worry about cataracts, and fortunately, if that's your problem, we have a great treatment.
Yeah.
But there's other problems, more complex, like glaucoma and macular degeneration, that need to be diagnosed early, not late, because our outcomes aren't the same. So we do need proper screening of people.
Absolutely.
And they should see their eye care professional every year.
Right, especially...
Ron, can I just throw one thing in also, that there are going to be some young people listening to you and people will say, well, I don't have to worry about it, but we all have grandparents. We all have, you know, people in our lives that we care about that are older who won't necessarily be on the internet to take this quiz. Take it for them. Take it to them. Give them the information. Because maybe your grandmother, who doesn't seem to want to go out of the house as much as she used to, maybe one of the issues is her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, this isn't just for people of an age to have this information. Everyone should have
information. You know, it's funny, my grandparents never talked about their medical conditions ever. You weren't supposed to do that, so you never knew what was actually going on with them, but hopefully times have changed. And I totally understand what you say about your husband not going. Well, sometimes, you know, since I got married, I haven't bought one pair of underpants. She's done all of that for me. So I totally get that. One more time, the websites that we can visit.
CataractIQ.com.
Wonderful. Doctor, thank you for your time. Cheryl Ladd, we love you. Thank you so much for your time today as well.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Ron.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for your time today. Time well spent, I think. You? No? All right. We have that little disagreement going then. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Thank you to my guests, the good doctor, the good Cheryl Ladd. Thank you to John Shanahan and my good friend Jason Shaw and Nicole, the British babe. Books guests for me and my mother who gave birth to me. This is all your fault.